We present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
A few years ago, my family took a trip to Washington, D.C. I was speaking up in that area. And while we were there, we took some time and went over to see the Smithsonian. But in their natural history section of the Smithsonian, they have a very large and a very famous blue diamond called the Hope Diamond. And if you have ever seen it, it is very large and it is truly an amazing stone to look at, awesome to view. Now, it is not the largest diamond in the world, but it is probably the most famous diamond in all of the world. In fact, I was reading that 5 million people a year come to see the Hope Diamond. And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I wonder what the Hope Diamond would be worth. If someone wanted to purchase it, what would it be worth? So I looked it up on the internet. This is what it said. It said that the value of the Hope Diamond is inestimable. In other words, we don't know. We can't even take a guess at what it's worth. We can't even estimate it. What I want to talk about today falls into the same category as that, the value of which is inestimable. I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to be beginning in verse number 10. You may be there already from the scripture reading. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." I want to talk this morning about something whose value I believe cannot be estimated. You can go out and you can get rubies and you can get jewels and you can get the greatest possessions and valuable stones in the world, but they cannot compare, the Bible says, to the value of a virtuous woman. In fact, the inspired writer says, "Who can find one? Who can find a virtuous woman?" Let me ask you this question. What is it that makes a jewel very valuable? Certainly, I think we would say it's rarity. The more rare a stone is, the more valuable it is. And I think that the inspired writer is saying the same thing about the rarity of this type of woman. And so he asked the question from the very beginning, who can find one? The type of woman I'm describing, who can find a woman like this? It's also interesting to me that when we consider the subject of the virtuous woman, that we think about the author of this passage. Who is it that wrote the book of Proverbs? Typically we say, well, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, he identifies himself as the author, Solomon. But in verse 1 of this particular chapter, the Bible says that these are the words of King Lemuel. Now, who is this person? Who is King Lemuel? I don't remember there ever being a king in Israel by the name of Lemuel. And so some people have concluded that Solomon is talking about himself here. If you go back and study, the word Lemuel means one who is devoted to God, or it means one who belongs to God. And so it could be that Solomon is just saying, this is the writings of the king who is devoted to God. And some rabbinical commentators identify Lemuel as Solomon. And so maybe that's right. But other people say, no, that's not talking about Solomon. Somebody else wrote Proverbs chapter 31. I don't know. I don't know if it's Solomon or not. But wouldn't it be interesting if Solomon were the writer? Now, why do I say that? Because you remember Solomon had 700 wives. He had 300 concubines. Solomon knew a lot about women, or at least Solomon knew a lot of women. And he had interaction with a lot of women. And you remember that 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4 says that his wives led away his heart after other gods. He had 1,000 women. Wouldn't it be interesting if he is the man who wrote the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Who better to ask this question than Solomon? Well, the inspired writer describes for us here this virtuous woman. Now, some people have wondered, who is the woman he's describing? Who is this woman? I don't know if he had a particular woman in mind or not. I suspect that he is just describing a perfect woman. In fact, sometimes some translations use the phrase a worthy woman. The virtuous woman is a worthy woman. And I think the woman he is describing for us in this chapter is the ideal woman. He's describing the perfect housewife, the chaste helpmate, the upright, God-fearing, economically wise woman. And so I think rather than being a description of a particular woman, instead it is a pattern of perfection. This morning I want for us to look at the qualities of this virtuous woman. And particularly, I want us to notice her interaction with other people, because there are four different groups mentioned who interact with her. We see her relationship with her husband, her relationship with her children, her relationship with those in need, and finally, her relationship with the Lord. Now, I tried to make every one of these points begin with the letter H, and so you can follow them. 4 points. Hopefully, I didn't stretch it too much. Here's point number one. I want to talk about her relationship to her husband, and I want to suggest to you, starting with the letter H, that she is a helpmeet to her husband. Notice verse 11. The Bible says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Now, I think that he's talking primarily here from a financial standpoint, because the rest of this verse says, "so that he shall have no need of spoil." Another translation says that he shall have no lack of gain. The idea being expressed in this verse about the virtuous woman, the idea being expressed here is that she manages the home well. I know that's not a popular thing to talk about these days, the woman caring for the home. And I know the feminist movement would say, that's archaic. That is imprisonment. You can't entrap a woman and belittle a woman that way. You can't put those type of shackles on a woman. But you know, Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 says that the older women are to teach the younger women to be, the King James says, keepers at home. The American Standard says workers at home. The New King James says a homemaker. And here in Proverbs chapter 31, she is exalted for that. She manages the home so well that when she's gone, the husband doesn't have a worry in the world about it. It is interesting to me in the book, His Needs, Her Needs. Maybe you have seen this particular book. The author of that book, Willard Harley, was a man who was a marriage counselor, I think, for 25 years when he wrote the book. And in that book, he lists the top five needs of husbands and the top five needs of wives based on his 25 years of marital counseling. And also, he seems to have some biblical values as well. But anyway, in the top five needs of the husband, list number four on the top five needs, he says, for the husband is domestic support. I'm not going to go into what that means right now. We might have some sermons on some things like that later. But basically what he is saying is, in my 25 years of counseling married couples, I see that one of the man's greatest needs is that things be taken care of at the home. That way he can do his job, he can think about providing for the family financially, and he doesn't have to worry about what things are going to be like at home. It's very interesting to me, in verse number 27, the Bible says about the virtuous woman, she watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. I want you to notice also, it says that his heart does safely trust in her. Now that tells me it's not misplaced trust. He puts his trust in her, and he's not going to be disappointed. Now, I think, again, this verse is talking about finances primarily. But you know, there are other ways in which his heart is going to safely trust in his wife. He has complete trust in her. He can talk to her about things he would never tell another human being in the world about. And he doesn't have to worry about her betraying that confidence. He trusts in her faithfulness. He can go out of town for the weekend on a business trip, and he doesn't have to worry about what she's going to be doing. He doesn't have to worry about whether she's going to be faithful to him. You know, in Proverbs chapter 7, there is a woman just the opposite of this described. In Proverbs chapter 7, it describes a woman who's not faithful to her husband. In that particular chapter, the man goes away on a business trip, and the woman brings in another man. And she says in verse number 19, "The good man of the house has gone on a long journey." She says, "It's all right, you come on over. My husband's not here. He's away on business." But you see, with the virtuous woman, that's not even a consideration. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Verse number 12 says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." I want to focus on the word good. She will do him good. The worthy woman is looking out for the best interest of her husband. And he's better because of it. If you look at verse number 23, the text says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Now, in ancient times, the respected men, the elders of the land, the leaders of the city, would sit together at the gate of the city, and they would discuss business matters and the affairs of the city. And what we're being told is that the husband of the virtuous woman, he's respected and those circles. He is well known and people look up to him. Now, this is the fact I want you to get out of this, because Proverbs chapter 31 is not a discussion about the man. It's not a discussion about the husband. It's about her. And so what is it that we're being told about her? What does she have to do with the husband being known in the gates? I think what we're being told here is that her husband is held in higher estimation because of her. He is better because of her. One commentator said, she advances the estimation and respect in which he is held. And men, we know that this is true. Your wife can make you or she can break you. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 says it this way, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones. Listen to verse 12. She doeth him good and not evil. Now I want to emphasize that phrase, not evil, all the days of her life. You see, the virtuous woman, when she gets together with other people, she doesn't run her husband down. She's not talking about him like he's a dog. She gets together with the other ladies. She doesn't badmouth her husband to him. Now, you know, I've known people who will do that. Husbands who will get together and they run their wives down, and wives who will get together with the other wives and they run their husbands down. Sometimes they do that in public. And you know what? That hurts. And it's something particularly a wife should never do. A husband should never do, especially in public. It is not proper for a marriage, and it's not the behavior for a Christian. You know, I've got the idea about this virtuous woman that when she gets together and she talks about her husband, she talks about his good qualities. She talks about the good things that he does. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, one more thing I want you to notice from verse 12 is to emphasize that phrase, all the days of her life. Now, this tells me something about the commitment of this virtuous woman. When she said, till death do we part, she meant it. She's not going to leave when times get hard. She's not going to say, well, you know, difficulties have come, I don't need this. She's not going to bail out thinking the grass is greener on the other side. And you know, those who've been married for any length of time, you're well aware of the fact that hard times do come. Sometimes financial difficulties arise. Sometimes health problems create great turmoil. And you know, children are a great joy, but at the same time, children can bring stress. Children bring responsibility. And in our modern times, sometimes people are very selfish. And they bail out. They say, I don't want that. It's all about me. And they break their commitment and they leave. But not the virtuous woman. She is going to do her husband good all the days of her life. You know, when folks are getting married, one of the things that I think they need to really think about is their vows. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible talks about vows made to the Lord. But I think it gives us some very serious principles in relation to vows. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not to pay. Now what's he saying? If you make a vow before God, you pay that vow. If you don't intend to pay it, don't make it. And we need to talk to young people about that before they get married. Vows are serious. Many people today treat their wedding vows, their marriage vows, it's just something you say. It's pretty words, but when hard times come, those vows mean nothing. The Bible says God has no pleasure in the vow of a fool. We need to be talking to young people and let them know if there is the slightest doubt in your mind that you're not going to keep that vow, then you don't make it. Number one, the virtuous woman is a helpmeet to her husband. Here's number two. I want to talk about her relationship to the needy. Starting with the letter H, I want to suggest that she is a hand to the hurting. Look at verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. In other words, she is the type of woman that when she sees someone in need, she is reaching out evidently to help them, to give them comfort, to meet their need. The virtuous woman isn't one who is driven by selfish greed. She is a person who is full of mercy, full of compassion. She sees someone in need and she wants to help them. She's like Dorcas that you read about in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. The Bible says there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. The Bible says even after she died, people said about her, she was the type of woman who always helped those in need. And that's what she was remembered for. And in my years in the Lord's church, I've known some women like this who regularly visited the sick. They took care of the elderly. They looked out for the shut-ins. They gave to those who had very little. They comforted the suffering. They made calls. They sent cards. They cooked meals. They offered prayers on behalf of these people. And it was a lifestyle. I'm not talking about something that they would just get fired up and do for a week or two. It was a lifestyle. Makes me think about the judgment day. You know, Matthew chapter 25, the Lord says to the faithful, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. And then I think about verse number 40, because the Lord says, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye have done this unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The Lord's going to bring this in account on the day of judgment. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that has pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Very interesting. When you care for the poor, you're caring for the Lord is the point. Same thing in Matthew 25. The virtuous woman is a caring, compassionate individual. First, she's a helpmeet to her husband. Secondly, she's a hand to the hurting. Number three, I want to talk about her relationship to her children. I tried to start it with the letter H. Hopefully, I haven't stretched this too much. I want to suggest that she is a harbor to her household. You say, what are you talking about? A harbor to her household? Webster's dictionary defines harbor as a shelter, a place of safety, a place of refuge. I like that picture. I like that description. She is a shelter for her household. The virtuous woman, the virtuous wife, the virtuous mother is a place of refuge for her family. She's a place of comfort to which the children can go. She's a shoulder upon which her husband can cry. She looks out for the needs of her family. Verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She's not worried about the cold weather coming. She's not worried about the chilling winter. She's already taken care of that. One version says she has clothed them in double garments. She's looking out for the needs of her children. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, some people think about a housewife. They think about a mother, about a wife, a woman with children as being lazy. You know, she's got nothing to do, and television has painted this picture of a housewife as somebody who doesn't get up till noon, and they lay around the house all day with curlers in her hair that looks like big orange juice cans, and she spends the day watching Oprah Winfrey and these old nasty soap operas, and that's what they think of. And I suppose there are some women that way, but not the Christian woman. Not the virtuous woman. Not the woman who is what the Lord wants her to be. This verse says about the virtuous woman, she eateth not the bread of idleness. In fact, verse 15 says, she rises while it is yet night. What's that mean? It's still dark outside. She's already started working to take care of her family. She giveth meat to her household. She doesn't sleep until noon. In fact, she rises early in the morning. And I'll show you what really impresses me. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now look at verse 18. And her candle goeth not out by night. Think about this. What's being described here? Here's a woman who the text says gets up while it is still dark outside, early in the morning, to take care of her family. She works all day. Now it's night, and her candle goeth not out. What's it talking about? The sun's already gone down. She's still working. Who can find a virtuous woman? The Bible says her price is far above rubies. She's a harbor to her household. She cares for her children. And as a result, verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. You know, this verse impresses me because the praise isn't coming from strangers. You know, it's not hard to fool strangers. It's not hard to fool people that you're not around very often. But the praise here is coming from the people who know her the very best. It's coming from her children. It's coming from her husband. They are calling her blessed. Her children say, we love our mama. She cares for us. It's evident to them. And I tell you what, husbands, you see something that we need to pick up from this verse? It says her husband praises her. He calls her blessed. We need to speak those words of encouragement. And husbands, we're oftentimes not very good at that, are we? Oftentimes women are better at doing that sort of thing than we are. But Proverbs 25 and verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold." Husbands, sometimes we need to give those apples of gold. Whether it be "I love you" or "thank you" or the greatest compliment I think a man could ever give his wife is to say, "If I had it to do all over again, I would choose you again. If I could do it all over again, I would. I would choose you." But look at the husband. Look what he says in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. He says, you are the best. There are a lot of good women out there. But he says to his virtuous wife, there are many who have done a good job, but you, honey, are the best. Here's the last point. I want you to notice her relationship to the Lord. Starting with the letter H, she is an honorer of the Lord. She is one who honors God. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, he says favor is deceitful. The word favor in the original language carries with the idea of gracefulness or beauty. And he says gracefulness and beauty are deceitful. And then he says beauty is vain. In other words, it's transitory. It's passing away. Physical beauty is fading away. That's what he's saying here. I know we don't like to admit that sometimes, but it's a fact of life that the years change us. We change. We don't look the same as we did a few years ago. I found a stack of pictures in our garage last night, and I was going through them, and they had pictures of people from North Charleston from years ago. You don't look the same. You look different. Sherry and I look exactly the same, but you look a lot different. But you know what he's talking about. I'm kidding, but he's talking about you put on some pounds and your hair turns gray or it turns loose and you get wrinkles and we don't look the same as we did. That's what he's saying here. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But then he says, here's what really matters. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now that's what it's about. I think this is a very appropriate way to end the discussion of the virtuous woman and also to end the book of Proverbs by saying, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Because at the end of the very next book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, same writer, Solomon, he concludes that book by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. What he's saying there is, I have searched this world, and I'll tell you what life is all about. I tell you the whole meaning is to fear God and keep His commandments. And that's why I say it's appropriate that he concludes the discussion of the virtuous woman by saying, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. The whole purpose of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. Brethren, that's why it's so troubling when a person is not faithful in their attendance like they should be. Because the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's why it's so troubling when people don't do the things that they should as a child of God. Because the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. If I fail to do that, I have failed for the very reason. 100% of the reason that I am here is to fear God and keep His commandments. And if I'm slack about that, I have missed the boat. I've missed it completely. The virtuous woman is a helpmeet to her husband. The text says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Number two, she's a hand to the hurting. The text says she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Thirdly, she is a harbor to her household. The text says she looks well on the ways of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. And number four, she is an honorer of the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Young men, those who are not married yet, if you want to find a virtuous woman, I tell you what you do. You find a woman who loves the Lord more than she loves anything else. More than she loves her job, more than she loves her parents, more than she loves her appearance, more than she loves you. And you'll find a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies.